Welcome back. 9 minutes to 12 o'clock. Now, this weekend, we woke up to more sad news of another South African musician passing away. Steve Fatar, legendary South African musician, passing away at 76 years old. He was part of the legendary 1960s band, The Flames. And they have that hit, Your Precious Love. It's one of the longest intros that I know, but it's so beautiful. And there's been plenty of tributes that have come out in memory of Steve Fatar, including that from Roger Lucy. He's a musician in his own right, a journalist, filmmaker, joins us on the line now from Napi. Roger, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to hear you again, Lester.
It's a pleasure. Roger, you wrote in a tribute to Steve Fatar that his legacy goes beyond music. His legacy also goes into his own form of cultural activism in what he did through the Flames in apartheid. Explain Steve Fatar's legacy in that aspect.
Steve lived his own life. Steve was fiercely independent. He never bowed to anybody right from those early days, and they kind of broke through barriers, you know, without even making a big song and dance, excuse the pun, about it. They were just so good and so transformative that they crossed boundaries from a very, very early, from an early stage with the band. Mm. And, you know, reached massive heights very, very quickly. I mean, really the dizzying heights of rock and roll stardom, you know, once they were taken under Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys wing. Mm. And, you know, they did a Royal Command performance at the Royal Albert Hall. You know, they rose rapidly, and it didn't go much beyond that at that point in time. They ran into the usual, well, not all of them, but mainly Steve ran into the usual traps that you know, that rock and roll stardom sort of brought with it. Mm. And Steve ended up back in South Africa after the tragic death of Idris, also known as Brother, the bass player in the band. And Steve then proceeded to live a very different musical life in South Africa.
Well, what did it mean for a group of black brothers playing, you know, rock and roll in South Africa in the 60s?
Well, I think, you know, that was the whole thing about the Flames, right from those early days. I mean, black guys didn't play rock and roll. Mm. You know, it was a kind of combination of rock and soul, really. Mm. I mean, because if you listen to Your Precious Love, I mean, that's really is a soul song. but what the Flames did is that they played at these kind of white venues and somehow managed to slip through the cracks. The black musos at that time, there were certain venues that that were like secretive. You know, there was a place called the Blue Note down in Umbilo Road in Durban, and there it was, you know, you had to be very, very careful because there, you know, black and white musicians did play together, but had to be so careful. There was always someone on the lookout for the cops about to raid, and, you know, the black musos would quickly disappear. And there's that classic story of when, you know, early on when Freedom's Children did a gig with a group of black musicians from, including. Afro jazz musicians, and the guys would have a bucket and a mop on the stage. So if the cops raided, the guys quickly pick up the bucket and the mop.
Wow.
And you know, when just to give you sort of an idea, when I lived in a communal house with Steve, Steve by design lived in the little kaya out the back because he was back in South Africa, and there was a guy called Bossy Smith, who was the head of the Durban drug squad, who was constantly harassing and trying to bust Steve, you know, for this and that. And by living in the little kaya at the back, he effectively managed to circumvent the Group Areas Act legislation, which would have, you know, got him arrested on you know, the many times that, you know, the cops would come and raid the communal house. So there was, you know, constantly that kind of threat and bullying that went on.
Roger, performing till the age of 76, you know, you can't stop a musician from playing, but still having to play, you know, a regular gig, playing on Friday night, passing away in the early hours of Saturday morning. It still goes to show of it that sorry tale of South African musicians still having to work till late into their lifetimes just to support themselves.
You know, Lester, there are two sides to that story. Steve hustled all his life. He never had money. He lived in much of his life was lived in real poverty. He really, really struggled. The other side was that even if Steve had money, even if he'd been really wealthy, he would have still played that gig on Friday night. Steve loved nothing more than to play. And, you know, every time we met up, it was just the guitar would just come out. I mean, he was addicted to that. So, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, he did. He needed to play. You know, we connected the last time we spoke. He was on a respirator in hospital. It was just a few weeks ago. He came off that respirator, traveled down to Cape Town, did a couple of gigs, traveled back to Durban, and then it was just a week later that he did that Friday night at Zach's, which was his regular gig, and died on the Saturday morning. And while it does show that old story that the musos, the jobbing musos will die with their guitars in their hands, it's what Steve wanted to do. You know, he did it with great glee and great alacrity. And even when we spoke, he's got this mask on his. And he said, it's not too bad. Yeah, it's not too bad. I'll be out soon. I'll be playing again.
Well, Roger Lucey, the colleague and comrade of the now late Steve Fattah, passing away this weekend at the age of 76.